Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team with 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in the legendary John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. John, what's going on? First off, thanks for taking time to join us. Congratulations on your retirement. One of the best to ever do it, and really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning here on the show.
No, thank you, Robbie and Joe. Thanks for having me on. I've retired from the Houston Chronicle, but not the radio. I still do 10 shows in 6 cities. Love talking about sports, as I know you guys do too, and I'll probably pick up a little freelance, including from the Chronicle. I told them they use a couple of guys who retired after a long time, 10 years with the Chronicle. They still do some freelance around town when the paper needs them. And I told them if they need me, I'm available. So I think they said they could use me during the draft. So I said that would be great because the draft is my favorite time of the off season.
Well, that's awesome to hear. And the more we can hear you, the better off we're all going to be, John. So appreciate you taking time for joining us here on the show. I'm interested from your perspective now that the Deshaun Watson situation is behind the Houston Texans. Where do the Texans go from here? Do they view Davis Mills as potentially an answer as their long-term guy? What do you think of the Texans and where they kind of go from here now that Deshaun Watson is behind them?
Let me tell you, I'm so glad Watson's gone and he's Cleveland's problem, because for almost 15 months we dealt with that story on almost a daily basis. If I had a dollar for every talk show I'd done to talk about Watson – or TV show or podcast during that period, I could have retired sooner. And people in Cleveland don't know how to handle the situation. You got the 22 civil lawsuits accusing him of sexual misconduct, assault, and harassment. But you have a great young quarterback who wants to play. But I don't have to worry, although, of course, it's still news in Houston, no matter what he does. Texans are committed to Davis Mills. Davis Mills over the last 5 games last season was better than any rookie quarterback, including Mac Jones. One of the last columns I wrote was comparing Jones and Mills down the stretch, all of their stats. And Mills, with the worst running game in the league and the second worst defense, was better than Jones, who had a top running game and a top defense with him. And so they're not saying they're committed to him long-term. They're not even saying they're committed to him next year, although I know they are, because I think they're open with the 3rd pick. Somebody like, say, Carolina might get scared that someone else is going to trade up in desperation for Malik Willis and get a couple extra picks out of it. They got 11 picks right now. When Nick Caserio, the GM, makes some trades, other than moving up, I could see him making deals for the 2023 draft, because they know they're in phase 2 of their rebuild. And Mills, you know, the when they beat the Titans in Nashville, that was more of a case of Ryan Tannehill having the worst game of his career. And then Tyrod Taylor was a quarterback then. He didn't play worth a darn. But at the end of the year, when the Titans had to win to get home field advantage and they escaped by 3, you know, Mills played well. So he had 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and he completed 69% for a rating of 104 down the stretch. So they like him. If he doesn't make the kind of improvement they hope, then they'll be back in the quarterback market next year when that draft is supposed to be outstanding for quarterbacks instead of this one, which is mediocre.
So, John, I know you've done a lot of reminiscing here, both in writing and doing all these shows you do. But I got to ask you one more. I'm sorry. I'm going to apologize in advance. The story that will stand out to you and I believe I'm 47 years at the Houston Chronicle, 51 years as a sports writer. The one story of all that time that you will stand out, whether it's your favorite story or the toughest story, or just what comes to mind when I ask that question?
Oh, there's so many, and I've been asked, and I wrote a column Sunday for the Chronicle on our website, TexasSportsNation.com. It's behind our paywall, and I've been telling people on my talk shows, if you want to read my 10 greatest most memorable experiences. Feel free, my new email is john.mclain, NFL, at gmail.com. I'd be happy to send it to them where it's not behind the payroll, at paywall. And I'll tell you one when I was in the Waco paper and then one at the Chronicle. When in Waco, I was working for the Waco Tribune Herald, legendary sports editor, Dave Campbell, founder of Texas Football Magazine. I learned from him, grew up reading him, and I got hired there going into my junior year at Baylor in June of 1972. And Baylor had not beaten Texas in 20 years, had not won the Southwest Conference in 50 years. And in 1974, they played the Longhorns, and Earl Campbell was a freshman and one of the most highly touted freshmen in the country. And they played at Baylor Stadium, and I was writing a Texas dressing room story. And I was still on my junior year at Baylor because I was working full-time, and Baylor was down 24-6 at halftime. And I walked to the back of the press box, and I saw so many fans leaving. I told Dave Campbell, worst thing about being a sports writer is you can't go home when you know your team is lost. And he said, young man, he said, you know, miracles do happen, so I wouldn't count the Bears out yet. And I said, well, I have. And Baylor came back and won that game. It's called the Miracle on the Brazos. And it was such a big deal. They left the school board on all night, and the president of the university and the vice president slept in the press box. And it was this, it was in November, so it was foggy, and the scoreboard was shrouded in fog. And all night, fans just drove around the stadium looking up the scoreboard. And when I got home, my dad, who is the reason I love football, he'd watched Baylor since the 30s, he asked me, watching all the people go around the scoreboard, could we drive out and go around at one time? And I said, sure, this is like 10, 15. So we got in the car, he and my mom and my brother and I, we drove out there, huge traffic line, get in line. You just putzing along, but you didn't care. It was such a big deal. And I went around it once. He said, can we do it again? I was so tired and ended up driving around that damn stadium till like 3 in the morning. So finally, I heard my dad snoring, and we went home. And after one more win over Rice, Baylor won first Southwest Conference title in 50 years. So that was the one that stood out in Waco. And one I wrote about Sunday in my column was, of all the great memories I've had, I spent time with Bill Veeck at Comiskey Park in Chicago telling me about John Dillinger and Al Capone when his dad owned the Cubs. I spent a day with George Halas in his office with him telling me about Babe Ruth replacing him in right field for the Yankees and how what it was like the founding of the NFL when he was there with Jim Thorpe and others. And so I had so many wonderful memories, and I love history. You know, and people say my worst one, I say Buffalo, the biggest choke job in history, 35-3 after the 1992 season when the Oilers blew that game to the Bills, lost 41-38 in overtime, and vindication with the Music City Miracle to a lot of people in Houston. And people in Nashville didn't have to suffer through that Buffalo choke job. And, but the one that stood out the most, in 1998, I noticed when the great Packers receiver Don Hutson died, that the last surviving member of the original class of the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1963 was Sammy Baugh, Slinging Sammy Baugh, quarterback for the Redskins, great baseball player in the Cardinals minor league system, just a tremendous personality who was famous for cussing like crazy. He had a TV show called Texas Rangers, and he lived on a ranch out in West Texas, and so I thought, man, I'd like to get an interview with him. And I had a friend here who told me one time he played dominoes with Sammy Baugh, and Baugh loved to play. So I called him. I said, Bill, if the Chronicle pays your way, can you line up an interview with Sammy, and let's go out there. So we did. We went to Lubbock. We drove to his ranch, and it's out in the middle of nowhere, and he lived in the same little house that he'd lived in since the late 30s, and he was by himself. And as soon as we got in there, he was cussing like a storm. And the Chronicle let me with a disclaimer that some of the language in here is not, you know, fit for newspaper. But they said if it didn't do it, it wouldn't capture the essence of Sammy Baugh. So we spent the night. I recorded 5 or 6 hours of tape, and the next day, before we left, I asked him what was his favorite trophy in his trophy case, and he reached into the back. He pulled out a sheet of paper, blew dust off of it, held it up, and it was his only hole-in-one. He was 85, and he drove to Sweetwater, 30 minutes away, 5 days a week to play golf, and he didn't play on weekends because he watched golf. So we watched some golf with him, and he was such a character, telling me stories about when he was in the Cardinals minor league system. He was there with guys who would go on to be known as the Gas House Gang. And people don't know what that is, Google it. And it was all the great Gas House Gangers. And when they won championships with the Redskins, the owner would make them barnstorm across the South and play a game every few days so the owner could make more money. But when he was, I thought the best story he told me was playing minor league baseball for the Cardinals. There was a player on another minor league team that infuriated opponents. He was a right fielder. He was 17. And he said this kid would turn his back to the hitter when he was, when his pitcher was pitching to defy us to hit the ball out there. He'd do jumping jacks when we're trying to swing. He would sit. He would put his glove in his back pocket. And he said, I told the manager, how in the world do you let that sumbitch act like that when every one of us wants to beat the hell out of that bleeper? And he said, because the guys at the big league club tell me he's going to make them a lot of money someday. And he said, I understood it because when I was playing shortstop, he would hit a ball so hard I could hear the plank coming out of the fence before I could turn and see it. And he hit home runs you could hang clothes on. And so I said, that guy ever become anything? He said, well, you tell me. His name was Ted Williams. And I thought, wow, I'd never heard stuff like that. And as we left, we're out on his porch, and he got his peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for the road. And I'm on his porch with him, and I said, Sam, he always signed things Sam Ball because he tried to sign everything that was sent. People from all over the country would send balls and shirts and paper to the post office, said Sammy, Slinging Sammy Ball, Rotan, Texas, nothing else. So they knew where he was, and they'd bring it. And once every 2 weeks, his daughter-in-law would line up tables, and he'd go down and sign everything Sam Ball, because he said, I can sign twice as much not signing Slinging Sammy Ball. So we're on the porch, and I said, why do you live out here in the middle of nowhere? Instead of living in Fort Worth, where he went to school at TCU or Sweetwater, so you don't have to drive this road to play golf. He said, you know what? He tugged at his pants and he said, because, and I had to change a word here, anytime I got to take a leak, he said, I can come right out here on my porch and I can pee anywhere, anytime. And he said, matter of fact, I got to take one right now. Want to join me? And I did. And I'm pretty sure nobody in the media who knew Sammy Barr covered him had ever been to his ranch in Rotan, Texas, taking a pee off his porch with him, except me.
Just incredible. John McClain from on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John, last thing for you here. Obviously, you're very familiar with the Titans and this team becoming perennially a playoff contender. They're talking about building a new stadium here. I'm just curious, from your perspective, the job that Amy Adams-Strunk has done since kind of taking control of things here in Nashville.
I remember when Amy got control of the team, she was very nervous about, you know, being in the spotlight. She'd always been in the background here. She lived on a ranch outside Houston in another little town, and she was a horsewoman. And I think the only time she'd ever been interviewed was for, like, Horseman magazines. And I remember telling her, people in Nashville are going to love you. You know, you ride horses. I said, got a great personality. Just let them get to know you. And I was there covering a game when she did her first interview in the press box, and I could tell how nervous she was. And now she just has just been like a cocoon and a butterfly as an owner. And she's beloved, respected, and I can't tell you how much I respect the job she's done, the way she's handled it. You know, I knew when they played in Kansas City in, 10-degree weather, a few years ago in the playoffs, and she went out in the parking lot, was hanging out with fans. And then when she was in London hanging out with the fans, that people would love Amy Adams-Strunk. And I'll say this, she was so smart to get Mike Vrabel and John Robinson signed to extensions because they're a great duo. And I think they will always be contending for the AFC South title and a Super Bowl as long as they're there. And I think she's done a fabulous job, and I don't know anybody up there that's told me she hadn't. And I look forward to spending more time up there and coming to some Titans games, since I'm not writing for the Chronicle anymore. And I think, again, I'll pick the Titans to win the division. Last year I picked them to get home field advantage, and they did. But I also picked them, I think, to go to the Super Bowl. So with Derrick Henry back and with they keep those guys healthy, you guys know they are a legitimate Super Bowl contender. And all this stuff about Matt Ryan and the Colts, look at what Matt Ryan did last season. I don't automatically think they're going to win the division like some people think they are. So I think the Titans are in great shape again. Fans ought to be pumped. And I'll say this about that stadium. You better build it, because if somebody went through it here, I wrote about this Sunday. Bud Adams only wanted $180 million in public money. And Houston turned his back on him. And it was good for Nashville, and it was good for Houston because of the Texans. And it's good for me because Nashville is my home away from home. But, you know, that stadium is run down, and I saw the plans where it'd be better to build a new stadium next door instead of try to renovate it. And I think it's a good time to get that done because the Titans are good. It was their misfortune here to go from 12-4 to 2-14 when they were trying to get public money. And that's not the time to do it. So I hope it all works out, and I believe it will. Great football town. I can't believe how many, every time I come there's so many cranes, I can't keep up with all the building going on. So, guys, thank you very much for having me. I do appreciate it.
Well, John, we appreciate you taking time to come on with us. Congratulations on a great career, and looking forward to hearing a whole lot more from you.
Guys, thank you very much, and have a great rest of the week.
Absolutely. Thanks, John. The legendary John McClain, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.